This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Marriage Therapy Radio. I'm Zach Brittle. I'm here with Laura Heck. Today we're talking about trust and betrayal. This is a fascinating topic for me and one that I find challenging in the context of therapy. So we're going to bat it around a little bit. Would love to hear from you if you have ideas, specifically if it's an issue in your relationship or if you're a therapist that has some great strategies. Let us know about them. But before we get started, I want to say happy birthday, Mom. I love you. I'm really glad that we have the same genes. Well, most of them anyway. Anyway, stick around. Marriage Therapy Radio coming at you.
Hey. Hi.
Good morning.
How's it going?
Pretty good. I have a busy week, fun week. Lots of fun, exciting things going on.
Why?
Well,
have spring break, right? You don't. That's not a thing for you and your family.
No, because I don't have a school-age child. But
right.
I did have a spring break where my mom and my entire family came, and we had a family reunion that I hosted here at the house. So I'm on the other end of that, and it feels good. I mean, not for them to have left, but, you know, you, like, check that off. You don't have to see family for another 2 years. It's good.
Right.
Are you?
I'm going to go see my family this weekend.
You weren't?
But they don't know
that's
it.
Right. You're surprising them. It's okay because this podcast will come out when you're there.
Right. It's my mom's birthday and they're having a surprise party and I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to go, but I've managed to rearrange a few things. And so I'm taking a quick trip to Virginia.
You're the best son.
Like 48-hour trip. Yeah.
So good. Are you going to bring her a gift? Are you a gift-giving type of family?
I am going to bring her a gift. Okay, so my mom taught me how to play games. Like, she's a game player, game lover, which I think she got from her mom. And there's a gene on her side of the family. It's the cheating gene.
My mom has that,
which
too.
My mom definitely has. My mom has the cheating gene. Yeah. She's a cheater. And her mom was a cheater. But I didn't get the gene, so it passed me by.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure my kids have it, and my some other people in my family have it. But
yeah. But
I'm bringing my mom a card game for her to learn and enjoy, because when she visits us later on in the spring, we're going to play the game that I have it here at my house, the same game, and we'll all just enjoy that together.
And what game is this that you are bringing her?
Oh, it's a game. It's actually a game I bought on Kickstarter. It's called, I haven't played it yet. It's something about unicorns. Unstable unicorns.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fun.
I think it's called.
You know, it's...
I supported it on Kickstarter. Yeah.
I'm going to use this opportunity as a natural segue to tell you about my experience that I recently had to go under anesthesia. And when I woke up, I had the best day. It turns out that whatever drugs they give you as a part of your anesthesia cocktail are amazing. And I've never had this experience, but I was so happy and I couldn't sleep that night. And for 3 hours, I was sitting there next to my husband, just typing away, furious. And I had created a card game for couples. And can I tell you the premise? I think it's so fun. So
So we're done talking about me and now we're talking about
you. I'm just going to use this as a natural plug.
That was a natural segue.
It was a natural segue of yeah, over with you, on to me. So the card game is called Show Me You Love Me. And on the other side of the card, it's these suggestions or like love tasks, like clean the house or like empty the dishwasher or listen to me talk about my day or give me a foot massage, like all these different things. And what you do is you hide one of these cards so that your partner will find it. When they find it, they have 24 hours to complete that love task. And I'm super excited because I actually have it. So anyway, that's what I've been doing. That's nice. My card game, and it'll be available for sale eventually.
You're not giving them away to me?
I will definitely give you my business partner, but I will be selling them for like $15 online.
Right on. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
Anything else new? Did you do anything exciting?
You know what I did? I saw Hamilton. Hamilton.
You did not.
I did. They came to Salt Lake, and I knew that there was a lot of hype around Hamilton, but I don't like to get into things that get super hyped up. And now I'm on the other side of seeing Hamilton, and the hype is real. It was so good.
Yeah.
It was so good.
We saw it last summer in Chicago. Actually, we went out and had a little family trip out to Chicago and saw it. And I agree with you. It's a very, very powerful show, and there's a lot going on in there. I want to ask you a question, though, as a therapist about this, and maybe tiny spoiler alert here, but so in case you don't know, this show is about this guy, Alexander Hamilton. And
spoiler alert!
And he, yeah. And sort of his journey through like the early days of the founding of the United States and all of what that required. But I want to ask you a question. As you think back on the plot and on all the things that happened in the show, what is Alexander's biggest betrayal of Eliza?
It's his sister. It's her sister. The fact, okay, so I think that the
Angelica.
Yeah, the biggest betrayal would be the fact that he had an ongoing emotional affair with his wife's sister, not his sexual affair with this other woman.
Yeah, which happens later in the show.
Yeah.
And so I think this is a really interesting question because Hamilton came through town here in Seattle probably right before Salt Lake. Like, I'm sure it was the tour and it just kind of moved from one to the next. And so I had clients coming through my office week after week. And part of their like kind of week recap was, hey, we saw Hamilton. Mm-hmm. And so I was asking this question. I was like, what do you think? Like, what do you think is the biggest betrayal? Because he's a workaholic. He jeopardizes the life of his son.
Mm-hmm.
He has a sexual affair. He writes about it. She finds out about it because he publicizes it before he speaks to her. There's the whole thing with Angelica. There's a lot going on. And I think what it does for people is it makes them go, oh, betrayal's kind of weird. It's kind of messy. It's kind of not clean, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, if you're having sex with someone that you're not married to and that's out of bounds for your marriage, that's a betrayal for sure.
Yeah.
But there are all these other little tiny ones that are kind of add up and kind of sneak up.
I think it would be interesting to ask a couple too, and have them hear each other's response. That like they think
This is the conversation I'm having with clients on a pretty regular basis over the last couple of weeks. They would disagree. They would say, "Oh, I think it's this, or I think it's that." In my mind, it's probably the way she becomes aware of the affairs.
Mm-hmm.
Because it really is a complete disregard for her, a complete and total disregard for her at the expense of self-preservation.
Mm.
I can sort of understand why you'd make relational moves, but this was a self-serving move for him. And that conversation itself is wild. But I'm going to use this as a natural segue, because it's more natural than
self-promotion.
Let's be done talking about that and talk about this other thing
the
instead.
Name of my card deck is Show Me You Love Me. Okay, go on.
I think, you know, we've been noticing, we get a handful of emails from you guys every week or so, and almost every single one has some question or confession about betrayal or about trust issues. And so I want to talk about that today and just sort of say, hey, how do we handle that? Like, how do we help people grapple with these kinds of complicated, we call them gray, not quite black and white challenges that come up when it comes to trust and betrayal in a relationship?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The question that I get often is somebody who's on the other side of being hurt, and trust has been just really broken in the relationship for whatever reason. It could be the fact that a partner has been sober for years and then they've been secretly drinking behind their partner's back, and that's a betrayal, or they're spending money or giving money. I had one where one partner recently found out that their partner was giving money to a family member for years, basically keeping them afloat by subsidizing their lifestyle. And they didn't know about that. And that was the betrayal. Mm-hmm. And the question I get often is, can I ever trust my partner again? And then the follow-up question is, if I can, how? And that's really hard one, because
no doubt.
One thing that I know to be true about relationships and to be true about betrayal, and I think that this is the reason why we are on the track that we're on, which is to help couples overcome affairs and overcome betrayal, is we truly believe that relationships are more resilient than most people think they are. You can overcome so much more than you really do think that you can. So yes, I do think that trust can be rebuilt. How is
I'm with you on that. I think my bias in general is, yes, you can achieve trust. And in fact, sometimes you can achieve trust that's more secure, more powerful, more real than it was before you didn't. And the way that I explain this sometimes is that, you know, you stand up on an altar, presumably most people do, and they say things like, I'm going to, for better and for worse, and richer and poorer, and sickness and health, and I'm going to love and cherish and honor and be faithful, you know? And you say all this stuff, and you really don't know what you're saying because it hasn't been tested yet. Like, there's no real data that says, yes. I mean, it's kind of like taking a job, right? I'm going to take this job, and I'm going to do this job for the rest of my life. And then you learn what the job is. And with jobs, we can quit, perhaps, but in a marriage, you know, the investment is pretty high. The sunk cost is pretty high. And so I often just tell people that when they have an experience of, say, breaking a vow, and then they choose together to say, we're going to make this vow again, knowing what it cost them, then often the strength of that is stronger. So I'm a big fan of saying, yeah, absolutely, you can rebuild trust. That's definitely possible. Mm-hmm. The how, though, is a challenging piece for sure.
So it's interesting what you just said. And, you know, we have a colleague that we know, and his story is that there's been a rebuilding of trust three separate times. And the end result is that there's an awareness now of what is at stake and what you're choosing your relationship for, what you're really intending for your relationship. You know, the gravity of what you're choosing. And it's stronger after that third.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Attempt at recreating this relationship than it was the first, before there was ever a break of trust.
And I do think that there's some conditions, right? Like, I had a couple of just in my office a couple weeks ago, and she had said something to him like, if this ever happens again, I'm out. I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened again. And she called me and they came in because she realized she wasn't done. She wasn't out. Mm-hmm. She said, I don't know. I learned this thing where I thought that I couldn't handle it, but I realized I could and that I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And she found herself in a more curious position than a certain position, and wanting to know, like, what is this about him, and how does this work, and why does he do this, and what is that about, and where does it come from? And I think that is a part of it. And I said, you know, there's a couple ways this could go, right? You could say, hey man, why'd you do this? And he could say, I don't know. And quit bothering me about it, because it's just the way it is, and I'm really sorry, but you're gonna have to deal. And that is trust diminishing. Mm-hmm. That will increase her sense of uncertainty. Mm-hmm. Or he could say, I don't know, but you're right. Like, this is a disturbing pattern, and I'm not sure what that's about. And maybe it has something to do with my relationship with my dad. And I'm gonna get into some therapy and find out. And that is trust building.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And so I do think it takes some mutual participation and accountability and responsibility. Mm-hmm. I don't think that has to be based in shame or guilt or ultimatums, but the mutual buy-in and the mutual curiosity, I think, does create at least the fertile ground for trust building. Mm-hmm. And I like to say, only because I mathematically, I believe this is true, every single thing you do in a relationship, every single thing, is either trust building or trust diminishing.
Sure.
Even if it's fractional, even if it's just like a small gesture. Mm-hmm. So the how to build trust is to discern how do we create a surplus of positive or of trust building activity relative to the negative activity. That's. And that requires some curiosity, right?
Yeah.
And maybe a card deck. Maybe it does require a card deck where you say, "Hey, this is how we're going to create a surplus. We're gonna playfully enjoy each other mm-hmm. in a way that matters." You know.
You know, there's. So I agree. I think that the whole idea of having trust building events all throughout your day that cumulatively create that surplus of feeling like you are building trust in the relationship. And just to give you kind of an example of what you can do if you're attempting to build trust when you think trust has been broken, some things can be that you establish a daily call. And that call is every day at 11 o'clock as one of you is going on to your lunch break and you're going to call and just check in. And every time you make that phone call and your partner picks that call up, that's a trust building activity. Or you're going to say to your partner, honey, I'm going to pick this up from the store on the way home, or I'm going to drop off your dry cleaning or whatever it might be. And you follow through on your word. That's another trust building activity. There's all these small, tiny little moments where you say you're going to do something and you do it. Or you go to a party with your partner and you know your partner is somewhat insecure in large groups and you hold your partner's hand throughout the entire night. That's a trust building activity of saying that you're going to do something and following through, being there for your partner. I mean, Susan Johnson talks about the question of, are you there for me? Will you be there for me? And anytime that you give your partner a positive indication that you're there for them, that you've got their back, is a trust building activity. And it's really those small, tiny moments that have the cumulative effect of rebuilding trust, which a lot of people think, okay, it took 10 years to build trust and 10 minutes to break it. How long do you think it's going to take to rebuild that trust? It's going to take a while. And that's the, mm-hmm. that's unfortunately the, there's no quick fix to rebuilding trust. And that's tough for people to hear because it was broken so quickly. It really is going to take time. And that's a hard thing for people to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I agree. I think that I think it takes time, but again, I would go back to it takes curiosity. Like I always think about like, so person A says to person B, I don't trust you. That doesn't mean anything to me. It until I understand, like, maybe person A has trust issues. Maybe they're the adult child of an alcoholic, mm-hmm. or they have a background of abuse, or their first marriage, you know, experienced some infidelity or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. their capacity for trust is broken. And it might be because person B is not trustworthy mm-hmm. at all. Mm-hmm. They have a gambling problem and they never show up on time. And there's a history of, you know, secrets. Mm-hmm. And so the notion of I don't trust you has to be weighed against that you know, that sort of that range of possibility where both people try to move into the middle, right? The person whose capacity for trust is diminished needs to like learn about that and be willing to test it. And the person who's not trustworthy has some responsibility and some accountability to come in and show that they can actually show up. And that's a combination between two people, right?
Right.
That's a cocktail that gets created. And then of course the other one, if there's another sort of vertical, like the axis of question here is like, I don't trust you means what? I don't trust you to take the garbage out when you say you're going to, or I don't trust you not to sleep with your secretary, or I don't trust you not to, you know, drink, you know, a six pack before you come home from work. Like what I think there has to be a second part of the sentence so that you can actually learn about it and move through it. Because, you know, they're really different. Trust is really complicated. It's really complicated.
It is. It is very complicated. I find that, you know, even when you suggested, let's talk about trust, and said, man, Zach, it's just a big can of worms. Like, you want to talk about trust? That's a big conversation to have. I don't even really know where to go from there. And when I'm working with couples, it does need to be specific. I don't trust you to take out the garbage because you haven't taken the garbage out every last Tuesday for the entire year and you know, whatever. It is a complicated topic, and I don't expect couples who have had a breach in trust to know how to overcome it on their own. I don't. I think it is a really tough thing to do, and you owe it to your partner, you owe it to your relationship to navigate those waters, you know, with some help, with a guided counselor, someone who can help you through it.
Well, and I think, yes, with some help. And again, I would say, but if you go in to any situation like this with the mentality that you are certain what's required, like if this happens, then if, then, you know? It's gonna limit your ability to really create an environment where trust can be rebuilt. So
it's true. That's true.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so maybe your therapist creates that environment for you, or if you're a therapist, we'd love to hear how you're creating that environment for your couples too.
Yeah. Well, Zach, I wanted to talk about something because we have a project that we're working on, and I wanted to just kind of take this opportunity to ask if there are listeners out there that have dealt with any sort of a break of trust. And specifically, we're talking about infidelity because we are really wanting to create support around those who are struggling to overcome infidelity that are on the other side. And maybe you've come out on the other end and it's rainbows and butterflies, and maybe you're still in the thick of it. And either way, we would love to talk to you. If you send me an email to info@forbetter.us and just say, yes, Laura, let's talk, then that'll just get the wheels in motion, because I want to talk to you. I want to hear your story. And we'd love to gather as many voices as possible to help people understand that you're not alone, and also to give us more information about what it's like to be in the thick of it or on the other side of it, and just what your personal story was, your experience.
Yeah, cool. And I would emphasize too that, like, we would enjoy talking with you, whether you are the partner who's been harmed or the partner maybe who was involved. Either way, like, there are things that we can learn from your experience, no matter what role you played in that process. So, if you're willing to share that with us, then we would love to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you. And maybe I'll send you a card deck if you agree to talk to me and spend an hour. All right. Well, Zach, it's been a pleasure talking to you today.
Yeah, cool. Have a good afternoon.
Thanks.
And we'll catch up with you pretty soon.
Hi, friends. Thanks for listening. So if you found this episode helpful, we would love to hear from you. So please review us on iTunes. And if you haven't already subscribed to the podcast, we do have a bucket load of new episodes in store. So we want to make sure that you don't miss a thing. So we just want to thank you, mostly just for your time, your attention, and your energy toward investing in your relationship for better.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.